One conversation can change your life or change your business. And I truly believe that. I truly believe also that isolation is a killer. That if you are an entrepreneur, if you're a creator, if you're a podcaster, if you're a video, whatever it is that you do, generally speaking, if you're on your own and you're an entrepreneur, your friends and family just don't understand.
I'm really kind of hoping my mom doesn't watch this. I used to say if I died tomorrow, thin and beautiful, my mom would think I had a great life. And if I died rich and wealthy and whatever, my dad would think I had a great life. I just don't know that your family understands exactly what you're trying to build sometimes or exactly where you've been.
MilitaryCreatorCon.com.
Great XQ. Roger.
Hey, D. Scott, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. It is just a beautiful day here in Waco, Texas.
Well, you know, we just drove in. We're actually, well, it was yesterday, so I shouldn't say just drove in, but we arrived in Dallas because, of course, we have to be here periodically to arrange all of the funness before MCC. So we're actually here. It's a little hot. Is it hot over there?
You know, it's all relative, right? It's 80 degrees, so yeah. If you live in New England, it's really burning up. If you live
good
in
point.
Phoenix, you're like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, not so bad. Yeah. Well, we did. I lived in Vegas for 16 years. I don't know if you know that, but it was quite a while. And then James and I lived there together for about 2 years. We had a really cool apartment right on Fremont Street. But anyway, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about you. So tell us, and anybody else who's watching, a little bit about D. Scott. Tell us about your background, how you came to be the amazing man I know you are.
Oh, my gosh. That's high praise. I don't know if I can live up to that. But we came to Waco, Texas about a year and a half ago and started a radio show, The Waco Experience, An American Story. And we're broadcasting on KBBW, which reaches from Dallas to Austin. And then, as they say, it's a podcast everywhere humans live. And I do digital ads for businesses, written some books, just a bunch of things. Like most entrepreneurs, there's not one thing.
Yeah, I love the fact that you do a podcast that talks about basically a little bit of history, a little bit of like what's what. So tell us the most recent story that you have in your mind that like made an impact. Can you give us a little bit of that?
Well, there's a story from this summer that is probably one of my favorite episodes. It was the July 4th flooding that happened in Central Texas here in the Hill Country. And some friends of ours, they have a business, and so they've got a truck. And they said, you know, we know people down in the Hill Country. We're going to gather up supplies, and we're going to take it down there. And we know it's going to go to the people who need it because we know the folks there. And so they said, great, so I'm going to help out. So I asked, what's on the list? They said, diapers. I'm like, no one's going to buy diapers. So, you know, run over to Kmart, load my car up, get diapers, put Google in to get to their business, but Google sent me to the wrong place.
Oh,
so
no.
I pull into this RV park, and the lady that owns it is right there at the front. She asked me how I can help and what she can do for me. And so I said, well, I'm looking for Jim, and they've got diapers, they're taking stuff off down to the Hill Country. She says, their business is like a quarter mile the other way down the road, and I want to help. And she pulls $100 bill out of her wallet and hands it to me. So I'm texting Jim and going like, I just got a $100 gift.
Yeah, I got lost and I got $100.
So I took that over to him and dropped the diapers off, gave him the cash. But I went back and I said, you know, I just want you to know, I found Jim, dropped the diapers off. They're going to take it down there. And I gave him the cash donation, told him where it came from. And she says, I said, I want you to know that $100 didn't go on my gas tank. And she says, well, if you needed it, that's okay. She doesn't know me, but it's just, to me, that is the ultimate story of people wanting to help people and just trusting that you just do the right thing and the people on the other side, they're going to do what they do. That you don't have control over that, but you have control over what you do. And so that was one of my favorite stories from this last year.
Oh, I think that's a great story. I think what you're saying to me is something about bring a little light and love, you know, just putting it out there and having faith and trust that it's going to fall where it needs to. You know, if you'd needed that $100 for your tank, she was like, all good, like wherever it needs to go, right? I love that. I love that. How did everything go with the diapers, by the way? Did we get any feedback? Like, all good? Because yeah, I would have thought that would have been helpful. Yeah.
Well, there was a bunch of people. We're part of the networking group here, the Waco networking group, and we got about 60 members, and a lot of those folks contributed and helped fill that truck up with supplies that help the folks out. And
let's give them another shout out. What's the name of that group again?
Yeah, Waco Networking Group. Yeah,
there you go.
I just appreciate people when they take responsibility to help. And this is, I'll just go, this is one of the things I believe, is that these types of things don't need to be solved by government programs. You know, they should be solved by us. We should help each other out. We should be willing to donate water or diapers or whatever is required when the need comes up, because it's them today, it's me tomorrow.
Correct. It's all about community, which sort of leads me in a little bit into Military Criticon in our community, because I do believe that's one of the things that's very special about our community. How we kind of met you, if I'm not mistaken, please correct me. We were at PodFest, which, as you know, sponsored us for the first few years, like big PodFest, lots of people. We were a microcon in PodFest, and you sort of found us there and sort of promoted us and the fact that we were having our own event in April, because we were a baby like bird kind of going out to fly into our own environment. And James was like, who put that up there? I love that somebody did that. Like, we did. Did you? First he was like, did you do that? I was like, no, it wasn't me. Did you do that? And he's like, no. And then we figured out it was you. And it was so encouraging. It felt so good that somebody really cared and wanted other people to know what we were doing. And it was definitely not just kind and appreciated. It was helpful and thoughtful and, you know, all those great things. So that was kind of how we met. And ever since, we've been very, you know, very kindred spirits, I feel like.
Absolutely. You know? We're connected. I had heard about Military CreatorCon, and I'm not sure how. You know, this is one of those things you just,
that's,
I wish I could
good,
source
I
it back. It must have been in December when I first heard about it. So I live in McLennan County, Texas, and we have a population of veterans that is about 10% higher than the national average for veteran populations across the country.
I remember you telling me that. That's a significant amount. And I think that was something I had no idea about, that county in Waco area had a 10% higher residency of veterans, right? I mean, it's just kind of shocking to me, which I think is interesting.
And there's a lot of services, a lot of groups that help them out, that help the veterans. And the thing that I found was that a lot of our veterans don't know about these groups and these services that are available out there. And even the services that are providing help for our veterans, they don't know about each other. And so the more we can share, the better, right? The more people are aware of what they can take advantage of, what they can use, and what they can share is good. And so I'll just say, you know, God gave me a platform, that radio show. And so I interview groups like Tommy Hutchinson over at Caritas, that he's the Veteran Services Coordinator, so that we can share out these services about what's available.
And I think that's what makes things important to me. Like, that's what makes things special, is what I was going to say. If you know of a resource that can help somebody else, our community to me is extremely word of mouth. You know, if you do right by people, if you care and you have a great resource, people are going to find out about it. Maybe not tomorrow, but maybe the next day. And I think that's vital to what we do, because we're very tight knit. I know of a lot of people who want to get involved in the veteran and military connected community. And I'm like, it's really a know, like, and trust arena, which I believe is a lot of places, but we're specifically that way because we're kind of like comrades, you know, like everybody kind of knows everybody else too. And there's a common thread of service and service support. So yeah, it's kind of cool. I think it's very important that we connect one another and that we support one another in any way we can. And that's, you know, part of what James and I believe. And that's kind of why we started Military Creator Con. And really what I want to know is, why are you involved in Military Creator Con?
Well, first of all, I wanted to share it out. So when I found out about it in December, I'm reaching out to folks that I know, particularly a friend of mine, Mark Sinefsky. We're a partner in a business, but we're good friends. So we're just launching that business. And I said, looked at this and said, oh, look at Military Creator Con. It's in Arlington coming up in April. We ought to attend. And then when I went to PodFest, and I'm out on the app and I'm looking and there's a lot of people from Texas. So I said, well, we need to pull together a Texas podcaster meetup there at PodFest.
Right.
And then I saw the opportunity to put another Texas event up there, Military Creator Con. And it just makes sense, right? I mean, there's just things that you don't need to think, should I do this or not? It just makes sense.
Yeah, I'm thrilled you're coming. I'm thrilled you're involved. I think it's very valuable for people to just be in the room. I think for me, somebody like you brings such value to the community, to other people. To me, it's just a godsend, really, to have you there and have you help other people, maybe newer podcasters, maybe people who've been in it a long time that just are like, well, I've been doing this a really long time, but I don't have this kind of reach, or I have this kind of question, or I have that. And that to me is kind of what I believe we're all about, is a community of people just trying to do the best we can and help one another and elevate one another and truly make a difference, right?
Well,
I think our theme this year is create with purpose. So
we'll, I love that, yeah. Create with purpose. I'm humbled and honored that you say these nice things, so. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Well, you shouldn't be. It's all true, you know.
on my LinkedIn profile, under my name, it says one conversation can change your life or change your business. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe that. And when you create something like MCC, you're creating those opportunities to have those conversations. And you just don't know who you're going to meet, mm-hmm. what inspiration you're going to get, what collaborative opportunities you're going to have. But we need to have something like MCC so we can come together. And I truly believe also that isolation is a killer. That if you are an entrepreneur, if you're a creator, if you're a podcaster, if you're a video creator, whatever it is that you do, generally speaking, if you're on your own and you're an entrepreneur, your friends and family just don't understand.
You know, it's funny. I used to say, I'm really kind of hoping my mom doesn't watch this. I used to say, if I died tomorrow, thin and beautiful, my mom would think I had a great life. And if I died rich and wealthy and whatever, my dad would think I had a great life. And I just don't know that your family understands exactly what you're trying to build sometimes, or exactly where you've been. I know one time my dad was, I think he was in the Caribbean somewhere. And it just so happened at the time, my jewelry was very big there, right? And he comes back. He's like, I saw your jewelry. It was really popular. It was selling really well. Like, there was this big old poster of you, meet Mar-a-Lago. You were coming the following week. And I was like, yeah, Dad, it's what I do. He was like, I had no idea. Like, they don't see it till they see it. And sometimes they'll never see it. But we do. We see you, right? We see each other. And that's what's great is we're able to support one another and kind of like say, I got you. You know, that's, you know, if I needed some advice on podcasting and reaching a certain kind of Texas audience, you know who the first person I'd call would be. It'd be you. I'd be like, hey, D. Scott.
I'm happy to help.
A question.
I often say that you need to surround yourself with those who will not let you fail. Right.
Yeah.
And so you need to find people who understand what you're doing. And like I said, a lot of times it's your friends and family. If you're working for yourself, if you're that entrepreneur and your friends say, hey, let's go to the beach today. And you're like, no, I got to work. And they say, don't you work for yourself? Can't you set your own hours?
Right, right.
Their job is, say, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, and it's Saturday, and you've got a big deadline for a client that needs it Monday morning.
Right.
And you don't get to just say, nah, I'll let someone else do that.
Yeah, because there is no one else sometimes to do it but you.
That's right. You look in the mirror and you say, all right, get on this right away.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You speak it to yourself. And I think the one great thing, too, that we're doing now that I love, that I think you're going to enjoy, is a lot of our people who are speaking, and we have quite a few speakers, that they're really talking about different elements of creativity, entrepreneurship, some transition as well. Well, we have a wellness panel. I'm super excited about that one. We have different kinds of things. AI is particularly strong. I think we have a full AI day in one of our main stages. So, you know, we try to cover a lot of material. So that's going to be great. And there'll be lots of takeaways. But the community still is there after the event. There's still a Facebook group. There's still a community. There's still all the networking and the magic that happens in the hallways and at the parties and, you know, the different events and things. And that's kind of really why you come. You come for the learning. You stay for the people.
Yeah, absolutely. You can have a conversation there. You can meet somebody. But it's the conversations that go on after the fact. It's those virtual coffee times. Or if you're fortunate to be in the same area, to actually get together face to face.
Right.
I always encourage people, find the opportunities to do that.
No, I totally agree. And I think what else is really important is, you know, there's lots of places where you need to wear a mask, so to speak, and have pretense. Oh, I have this many followers and I have that and I do this. That is not what we're about. We're about being genuine, transparent. Look, I had an 8-figure business, but I still struggle with content creation. And I have a content creation conference. Like, you know, I think it's really great when you can be that open with people and trust them with your innermost, you know? And everybody really has your best interest at heart. And if they don't, they don't last long. They don't come to our, well, that's what we're about. So they're not aligned, so they don't come.
Yeah, they'll vote themselves off the island, right?
That's it. That's the best way to put that. I love that. Worked out good. I should remember that one. So so what's your next step? What are you doing next?
Well, so we're actually, I mentioned Mark Sinefsky, and we've got a partnership on a company called Present Gifting. And one of the things that we're doing there is we're building an AI first company. So a lot of what we read out there, a lot of what you see is how to apply AI to your business processes now, to your accounting, to your sales, to your personnel management. How do you overlay these technologies, save money, be faster, more efficient, better, all these things, right?
Right.
But we're saying, how do we actually start from the ground up? So Sam Altman, who of OpenAI, he stated recently, and I believe this to be true, that AI will make it possible for the first $1 billion one-person company to exist.
That's pretty amazing. I think about all the things that didn't exist when I started my business. Social media wasn't a thing. I think about how much bigger I could have and maybe would have been with social media, right? Because it did not exist. And AI, like, you can do the work of 5 people. If you just have AI. And I mean, you know, it takes some training and there's other considerations. But I always say, as a business strategist, right, somebody who consults sometimes with other businesses and mentors people for sure, the highest and best use of your brain. Do highest and best use of your brain. If it doesn't require your brain to do it, hire someone else, use AI, figure it out, because you can scale so much quicker, so much easier, so much better if you understand what your specialty is, what your niche, what are you about?
As we say, only do what only you can do.
Perfect. Exactly right. Exactly.
So we're looking forward to it. I'll be speaking at an event down in Houston, and we're talking about how to build products and companies with AI first. And
I like that.
You know, think about email. We all use email. It's on our phones. It's everywhere. But before email, how did we communicate? Memos, phone calls, formal letters that someone dictated, and then it was typed up and edited.
Oh my God! Do you remember the dictaphone machine? Are you old enough to remember a dictaphone?
Yeah, a little foot-operated switch, reel-to-reel tapes. I mean, you know, the world has come on. But at the time, before the internet, we didn't have email, and no one thought about email. But somewhere along the line, someone created this communication tool, right, that didn't exist, but now it does, and it's ubiquitous. We can't get away from it. So AI, in the same way, is creating things that we didn't think. It's not just making things better, right? And it was Andy Rooney. He was the essayist, Andy Rooney.
Yes.
He wrote one of his essays, talked about when he started writing using a manual typewriter. Then he went to an electric typewriter. Then he went to a word processor. Then he finally ended up at a computer. And he had the best line because he said, computers make writing easier, but they don't make writing better. And AI is the same way. It will make a lot of things easier, but it still takes the human input, the creativity, the could we do this? And what we're going to find with AI is that just like email didn't exist before the internet, there are things that are going to exist after AI becomes embedded in everything. We have no clue what that looks like.
I say that all the time. I can't imagine. I mean, the changes that are happening daily, even more so weekly and monthly. In the next couple of years, things are going to be 100% different than they are today. And we have no idea what that's going to look like. But I'm looking forward to it. And I know you are too. I think our time's almost up. So I'm going to thank you for being with us. I'm excited. I'm going to see you April 16th through 18th at Military Creator Con in Arlington, Texas. And thank you for being with me today.
Thank you, Mara.
At MilitaryCreatorCon.com.
Great XQ. Roger.